You're listening to World Cafe. I'm Kaleo.
How is your German, by the way? Is it okay?
Mein Deutsch ist nicht sehr gut. Not so good.
Yes, German, a skill you don't necessarily need, but Bob Mould lives in Berlin. The punk and hardcore icon blazed trails in the 80s with Husker Du, in the 90s with Sugar, and for the last 20 years, he's had his own successful solo career. His latest album, Sunshine Rock, is an intentional look away from the politics of now and a look back to the albums he loved as a youth. Bob will talk about all of that in English, but first let's get started with Sunny Love Song. It's Bob Mould on World Cafe.
We started out so awkwardly. It was rain and cold and dark. Wondered why I left the sun behind me. No more brownies in the park. It's a long, long way from California to Berlin, soft filled with melancholia. Winter came and paralyzed me. Drum like gravel over rice. Like a polar bear crawling through the tundra. Some penumbral paradise. As I make my way to pen and paper, my guitar, some weed, imagination. January days blending into gray. But when the magic comes, the clouds get blown away. My troubles, they are ending. My worries, they are few. Look for bright, a sunny love song every day. I can shine so bright on you. So true, yeah.
That is a live recording of Sunny Love Song. It's Bob Mould here on World Cafe. Sunshine Rock is the name of his new album. I'm Kaleo. Welcome back to the cafe, Bob.
Thanks, Kaleo. Good to be back.
Over the past few years, we've had a lot of albums that you could say are a response to the current political climate in the United States. And your first opportunity recording an album that could comment on that climate is a beautiful, upbeat, positive rock record. How did you arrive at Sunshine Rock?
Well, I think specifically in terms of politics in administrations past, I've had a lot to say about politics. For some reason this time around, I don't even feel like I need to comment directly on it. I think it should be absolutely crystal clear to people what's happening. And I would prefer not to pay service to these people until they're a footnote in history in a few years.
Got it. So, So instead you decide to write what I've read is a love letter to the albums of your youth, essentially. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think all of my records to some degree are informed by, you know, the 7-inch singles that I listened to as a child in the mid and late 60s. Those singles sort of kept me alive as a child that grew up in a violent household. Those were those were my Xanax back then.
So it's interesting you mentioned that because, yeah, you speak so highly of those singles. I read that your parents gave them to you. Your parents collected jukebox singles. How did your parents end up with the records in the first place? And then by proxy, how did you end up being given them as toys?
Well, I grew up in a small town in upstate New York called Malone. It was a farm town of about 4,000 people. It was roughly 50 miles south of Montreal and about 50 miles north of Lake Placid. And my parents, I sort of was the Dobie Gillis kid. My parents owned a mom and pop grocery store, and when people would come into the store, we would go through the kitchen into the store to wait on the customers. So one of the side benefits of being a store that sold alcohol and tobacco is that my dad dealt with the vending company in the small town, and they also stocked the jukeboxes out at the truck stops on Route 11. So when the jukeboxes would change over, there would be, you know, singles to be gotten rid of, and he would get them for a penny apiece. So those were my toys.
Was there a record in particular that you have a fond memory of and going, oh my God, I got this one?
Well, I think, you know, between Strawberry Fields Forever and Good Vibrations, you can't go wrong with either of those. I mean, Peter and Gordon, real good too, but...
And it's awesome. And you know, we jumped to clips of certain artists, but you know, Good Vibrations from the Beach Boys. Let's just play a little bit of it, because when you think Sunshine and you think early rock and roll, I mean, how can you not think the Beach Boys? Let's just play just a little bit of Listen to refresh some people's memories here. It's the Beach Boys on World Cafe. A little bit of Good Vibrations from the Beach Boys here. Our guest today is Bob Mould here on World Cafe. The new album is called Sunshine Rock. One of the things that's come up in the press regarding this album is, even though you recorded in Oakland, you now are a resident of Berlin. Maybe not full time, but a good amount of the time. You've lived in New York, Minneapolis, I think Portland, and now Berlin. What is living in a foreign country, in particular, what is living in Berlin teach you about America?
Well, I mean, Berlin's an amazing place. It has an enormous history. It's a, you know, I mean, it's centuries and centuries and centuries, and it's a city that is constantly changing in some ways, rebuilding in most ways. But at the core, I think, you know, just the pace of life is different. I mean, you know, San Francisco is a wonderful city. I love coming back, and I also love going to, you know, my time I get to spend in Berlin. You know, it's just small cultural differences. For instance, the first time you jaywalk in front of a mother with a small child, you know, you will be made an example of.
Oh. Whoa!
Things like that, where the mother leans down and is pointing at you and whispering into the child's ear about, you know, do not ever do what that man just did.
Wow. So even just simple polite niceties are things that are valued there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, things like going out for a walk at, you know, 1 a.m. in my neighborhood on a weeknight, you know, and I'll hear this, you know, I'll be walking and I hear this sound behind me, sort of this, and I think, oh, what's about to happen? And then, you know, it's Oma on her farad, you know, some grandmother riding her bicycle at 1 a.m. You're like, oh, okay.
Guess
so that wasn't. So you know, it's all those kinds of things that you know, and you slowly, the more time you spend in a different, in any different environment, let alone one where I'm not so clear with the language and still picking up their culture, you know, it starts to reprogram the way that you see things, the way that you behave. And I really notice it when I come back to San Francisco, which is a very free range kind of place, as opposed to, you know, the sort of semblance of cultural order that Berlin does have, on at least in the daytime. I think at night a lot of those rules go out the window.
Mm-hmm. We're here with Bob Mould talking about all things new album Sunshine Rock, of course, and spending some time. How is your German, by the way? Is it okay?
Mein Deutsch ist nicht sehr gut. Not so good.
You're gonna have to. Well, you got plenty of time.
Ich spreche ein bisschen Deutsch.
I think all of my German I learned from Kennedy's speech in 63 or whatever. Yeah.
That's actually where I had to go to apply for my residence permit was City Hall in Schöneberg. That's funny.
Wow. It's really cool. Berlin features in your video for Lost Faith. Starts with an ominous message about dictatorships and technology, cuts to you being interviewed in German while being stalked by drones, and it ends up with a cake. You get kidnapped. Mm-hmm. There's so much going on. Without giving away the whole thing, what was the inspiration? Because I just enjoyed this entire premise from start to finish.
Yeah, I guess the premise would begin with, you know, my friend Philippe, who is a wonderful filmmaker. Philly used to do a lot of stuff in the 90s with Atari Teenage Riot. I think, you know, they were a very political sort of active, sort of heavy group. And, you know, for the latter part of the video, we're at a location called Teufelsberg, which is that translates as Devil's Mountain. It's a man-made mountain of rubble of destroyed buildings in Berlin after the Second World War. And the images that you see are of the abandoned NSA listening station from the Cold War.
It is it's beautiful. I mean, in that sense.
Thank you.
And by the way, what I think it's interesting is because you're being chased by drones and there is this surveillance thing going. But when it gets to the performance shot and it has this tracking shot that just pulls back wide and it's you playing, mm-hmm. and you can see the whole Devil's Mountain. How exactly did you get that shot?
With drones and. And I actually don't know if we were supposed to be using the drones out there because it's fairly close to Tegel Airport. But anyhow.
In the name of art. We're here with Bob Mould. The new album is called Sunshine Rock, talking all things Berlin, music videos. And we're actually jumping back in time. You know, the next song came from your first solo album, 1989's Workbook. And I mean, we're thrilled that you've decided to break this one out for us, See a Little Light. Can you share, for those who may not know, how this song came to be?
See a Little Light, yes, yeah, from the Workbook album. It was written in 1988. I was living on a farm in northern Minnesota. It was quite a solitary existence. It was in the wake of the breakup of Husker Du. I was spending my days and my nights writing prose and poetry and short stories and relearning the guitar as a vehicle for writing songs. And this was probably a summer song, and it just, as they often do, they just fall out and sort of run with them. I mean, this version that I'm about to do is for the gearheads out there, is in standard guitar tuning, but I think it was written in a weird sort of dulcimer type tuning that I used on one of my guitars up on the farm, and so it has that sort of Celtic lilt, I suppose, to it. But this version in standard tuning with me and the electric will not do that justice, but I think it's a good song.
Beautiful. We're thrilled you decided to perform it today. It's See a Little Light from Bob Mould here on World Cafe.
The scent, there's music in the air. pliant voice coming from somewhere. But look how much we've grown, yeah. I guess I should have known. All right, last year's goodbye, they take the toll on you. Think of all the things we wanted to do. The words we said yesterday, that's a long time ago. You did it, you got really go now. Are you waiting? I know why. You're already saying goodbye. Are you ready? I know why. Oh, now, well, I see a little light. Know you well, I can see it in your eyes. No use to care, you want me to go. Should you say so, yeah. Well, I see a little light. Know you well, I can see it in your eyes. No use to care, one minute ago. Should you say so, yeah. Oh, now. Yeah. Are you waiting? I know why. You're already saying goodbye. Yeah. Are you ready? I know why. Yeah. Ooh, oh, well, I see the light. No, you will. I can see it in your eyes. No, you still care. I see a little light. No, you will. I can see a little light. Oh, well, I see a little light. No, you will. I can see it in your eyes. No use to care. One minute ago, should you say so, yeah. Oh, now. Well, I see a little light. No, you will. I can't see it in your eyes. No, you still care. Oh, I made a go. To say sorry, yeah. Oh, now. Well, I see a little light, yeah. See it in your eyes. No, you still care. One minute ago, yeah, to say, so, yeah.
An absolute classic, a performance of See a Little Light from our guest, Bob Mould, who's joining us from San Francisco. Man, See a Little Light is such an enduring song. It's 30 years old now, and it's still used for a lot of soundtracks and placements. For instance, for people who are unfamiliar, it's used in Netflix's hit television series, 13 Reasons Why. A lot of younger people who were invested in that show weren't even alive when Workbook was released. So what do you think causes people of all generations to find meaning in it, something that has become truly timeless?
It's one of those magic choruses. Again, you know, with the writing process, you know, it's, you know, my process a lot of times. You know, it's music first, sometimes it's words first, and the best, of course, is music and words together. And I think there's just something about the way that that major key melody and the title land together. I mean, we all hope that every song could be that good or that strong or that durable, I suppose. And yeah, it's just that kind of magic thing.
Yeah, and it's a song that happens to contain all three. You know?
Yes.
Yeah, it sounds good. The lyrics are good. It's durable. Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. We're talking to Bob Mould here on World Cafe. His new album is Sunshine Rock. But we're going to talk about one. Actually, we're going to talk about one and a half here of your other projects, including the one you just mentioned, Husker Du. You know, it existed in time for a decade. It's been 40 years since the band was founded, 30 years since the band broke up, yet its influence is still name-checked by bands that are making vital and important music starting out today. What do you think the influence, what do you think's made the band so meaningful, particularly for younger generations of artists that look up to it?
Husker Du started in 1979, ended at the beginning of 88, and within the 8 years that we were a band, a lot of great things happened. Not only with the band, but I think with American hardcore, we saw the advent of alternative music. We saw a lot of things happen, you know, and groups, you know, I mean, you know, whether it was Nirvana or Pixies, different groups that have name-checked the band, you know, relentlessly over the decades. We were one of hundreds of bands at the time that started out just wanting to change the world with our music, and to try to explain to people, you know, in the early 80s, you know, it was the beginning of the Reagan years. I'm a young gay man struggling with my sexuality or trying to understand, you know, who I am and where I belong in the world. And, you know, over the next 4 or 5 years, I'm watching a government, you know, tell me that I'm less than, you know, because of my sexuality and because, you know, a government that did not deal with the AIDS crisis properly for many years. Those kinds of things can make you really angry and make you want to yell very loudly. And there was a lot of us musicians, you know, for different reasons that were railing against the government at the time, you know, and I don't know why Husker Du survived and thrived and moved maybe away from the dogma of hardcore. You know, maybe it was that understanding that, you know, maybe the hippies did have something right. You know, we don't have to look like them, but, you know, maybe we can learn from them as opposed to destroy them. And, you know, the band evolved and the band eventually grew apart and ended. But I think it was that sense of community in the 80s of people sharing very limited resources and being able to build an alternative world that was not commercial radio, that was not arena shows, that was not cocaine and private planes and groupies and all these things. It was a very pure artistic expression. And I'm sure those things still exist now. Maybe I'm a little older and I don't see them as clearly, because my time is taken up by other things. But I think it's, you know, I'm just trying to set the stage for people as to what the 80s were like. And it was, and, you know, I think there's a lot to be learned from, you know, the 80s and when, you know, when government has too much power and they're not forthright with everything. I think those are moments that I carry with me through my life. And if my work doesn't directly speak to those things now, it's not for a lack of understanding.
Yeah. Thank you for a very thoughtful explanation about that. And I think you said something really poignant, which is it's like in the AIDS crisis or epidemic in the 1980s, they weren't even saying the word. They weren't even talking about who it was affecting. So I imagine that creates such a motivation to want to have a message. It's not like my disaffected youth, I'm bored and I don't have access to certain things. It's more literally like my way of life is not even being acknowledged by the administration. I've had a lot of musicians come on and talk about the Reagan era for a lot of what they didn't talk about. I don't know. It almost feels like you it's your responsibility to say something about it if you're going to be making music.
Yeah, and you know, as the band tours through this year and we play live shows, you know, I've got songs like In a Free Land, you know, that where the lyrics are still, you know, why bother spending time reading up on things? Everybody's an authority in a free land. That doesn't change. You get a song like Divide and Conquer where we'll invent some new computers and link up the global village and get AP, UPI, and Reuters to tell everyone the news. I mean, that was 1980-something. I don't think I had a computer that connected me to the Global Village at that point. But
you guys
can sort of see it coming, right?
You kind of saw it coming. Well, let's take a listen to it. Let's take a listen to a little bit of Divide and Conquer from Husker Du, Seeing the Future here on World Cafe. You know, first off, compliments to John Myers for literally just pulling that song out of thin air. I wasn't ready for that.
That's awesome.
Nicely done, producer John Myers.
Thank you.
Husker Du, Divide and Conquer. Bob Mould is our guest. The new album is Sunshine Rock. Closing with the song from Sugar. And, you know, a lot of people talked in the early 90s about how grunge made a lot of music irrelevant very quickly. But you were commented saying Nirvana actually helped out Sugar. Why was that the case?
Well, you know, again, talking about the 80s and Husker Du and, that band, when that band ended and I went in a different route trying to relearn music a little, in different ways, that's when bands like the Pixies showed up and then Nirvana showed up. In the summer, fall of 1991, when Teen Spirit changed the face of music and music video and all of that, it created a much larger road for bands, for guitar bands, for bands that made that kind of sound. It's funny. I was on the list to be considered to produce Nevermind. And it didn't work out. But the fact that Butch Vig, somebody who I actually started working with in 1984 up in Madison when he had just opened Smart Studios, the fact that Butch did such an amazing job with Nevermind and that it was such an incredible success, I think that historically would be in everyone's favor. So, okay. 9 months later, the road had already been paved for a group like Sugar. So always grateful for how all that went.
Yeah. Well, you've given us a dream set list today, something from the new record, something from earlier in your merch collection, something from the workbook, and now Copper Blue from 1992. Why did you want to play Hoover Dam for us? Because we're thrilled you're going to do it.
Because it's easy.
So
much fun. It's so much fun to play. First position B. Oh, my gosh. It's like the easiest place in the world to play a song.
Beautiful. Kids, if you're listening at home, pay attention. Try and keep up with the changes from 1992's Copper Blue. It's a performance of Hoover Dam from Bob Mould.
Standing on the edge of Hoover Dam, yeah. I'm on the center line, right between two states of mind. And if the wind from the traffic should blow me away, from this altitude, we'll come back to you, and to the time, yeah. And all that's left of me is slight insanity. What's on the right? I don't know if the Mississippi should wash me away, yeah. Down to New Orleans, maybe someday in my dreams, all I wake, feeling the sweat from the dough in my mouth. Oh, yeah. On a carousel, I can never tell my direction home, yeah. Spinning down a hole, losing all control, I'm down to the center. Oh, and caught up with lava, and I feel fine, yeah. Washes over me, keeps me feeling warm at night. And if you made a deal with the guy with the horns and the cape, oh, here, oh, here, I'll see you later, standing on the edge of the Hoover Dam. hole. I'm standing on the edge of who puts am I in? I am. Oh yeah, oh yeah. I'm standing on the edge of who puts am I in? I am. Oh yeah, oh yeah. I'm standing on the edge of who puts am I?
From 1992's Copper Blue, a performance of Hoover Dam, originally performed by Sugar, its frontman, their frontman, our guest, Bob Mould, joining us today. His new solo album is out now. It is called Sunshine Rock. Bob, it was an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for talking with us and sharing all of these great stories.
Thanks, Cleo.
You're listening to The World Cafe. Thanks to everyone who enjoyed that session. And now a special bonus for everyone listening on the web. A live rendition of a song from his 2012 album, Silver Age. This is Bob performing The Descent.
Started out so starry-eyed, full of hope and wonder. A wallflower was in my hair, not aware I'd been defiled. Every time I see you, I know it's going down. How can I believe you? Karma comes around. I know this ride. You must be there by my side. You going down, I must be descending. Oh, yeah. Ooh, yeah. Didn't wanna play the song that gave people so much hope. Oh, yeah. Well, my back thrown away, here's the rope that made me choke. Fire. Every time I see you, I know it's going down. How can I believe you? Karma comes around. You can't see it in my eyes, can't read it on my face, and here as I cry, oh, I hope it's not too late. Oh, yeah, yeah, make it up to you somehow. Oh, yeah, make it up to you. In my eyes, can't read it on my face, can't hear it as I cry. Oh, I hope it's not too late. Oh, girl, make it up to you somehow. Oh, girl, make it up to you somehow. Now my race finally run, it's a tumble to the sun. All these things can't achieve, brought me crashing to my knees. Now descent, now begun, all the music left undone. Oh yeah, yeah, my world it is descending. Oh yeah, yeah, my world it is descending. Oh yeah, yeah, my world it is descending. Oh yeah, yeah, the world it is descending. Oh yeah, yeah, the world it is descending, yeah.
A live recording of The Descent from Bob Mould here on World Cafe, a bonus exclusive for everyone listening on the web. Thank you guys so much for checking it out. More sessions, of course, are all around you. I'll talk to you soon. I'm Stephen Kaleo, contributing host. This is World Cafe.